Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is recorded in the 9th chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the 23rd verse. Moreover, he, Jesus, said to all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, and let him take up his cross every day, and let him follow me. Indeed, anyhow, whoever might desire to save his life will lose it. Moreover, whoever anyhow might lose his life on account of me, he will save it. Indeed, what is profited a man having gained the whole world himself? Moreover, having been destroyed or having suffered loss of himself. Indeed, anyhow, whoever might have been ashamed of me and my words, him the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he shall come in glory in himself and of the Father and of the holy angels." This is the word given to us this morning, dear ones, and the theme, following Jesus. Please be seated. Dearest beloved of Christ Jesus, especially Ivy, Angeli, Thomas, and Jordan. There's a very famous Christian author who once wrote, and I quote, "Christ says, 'Give me all. I don't want your money. I don't want your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. Hand over the whole self, and I myself instead, in fact, will give you myself. My will shall become yours." End quote. Last Sunday, dear ones, during the examination service, you four heard the importance of remaining faithful. Yet you cannot remain faithful by your own work or your own will. Jesus speaks clearly from our text this morning, and he emphasizes that if Ivy and Angeli and Thomas and Jordan, and each and every one of you, by the way, that you must desire to come after him, to follow Jesus. To do this, you must deny yourself. You must deny all, your whole sinful being. You must deny your sinful human flesh. You must deny old Adam. Now, Confirmation Sunday is a wonderful time to get to the heart of the matter. So let's do that. So our Lord Jesus does the same in our text today. Jesus says that one must, he must or she must, repudiate, deny, refuse to affirm, not confess the merits of old Adam, of our old sinful human flesh. Paul writes to the Ephesians and says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Yes, dear ones, you four were once children of wrath. Yes, dear ones, each and every one of you were once children of wrath. Yes, I myself once a child of wrath. It's that old sin nature. It's that old sin nature that must be put to death. It must be put to death spiritually. And that old sin nature wants to follow its father. Not the heavenly father. Our old sin nature, old Adam, loves following the devil. He doesn't want to deny himself. He doesn't want to humble himself. He doesn't want to commit himself to and to obey the will of the Lord and the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The old Adam is a narcissistic, self-centered, evil man or woman. And they want it their way and only their way. That's old Adam. Yet when Jesus this morning talks about the cross, he is talking about you picking up your cross and following him. What exactly is this cross? He is talking about each and every problem that you will face because you are a Christian, because you bear the name. He is talking about everything that you will suffer as a result of the faith that he has given you. That's your cross. And this denial of oneself, this humble submission, is to be done not only on Sunday, not when I feel like it, not once a year, not once a month, but every day. Every day you must submit, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. There is no middle ground, dear ones. Either you follow him or you don't. That's your cross. This denial of oneself must be done every day. Jesus does not want a sometime follower. He does not want a sometime cross bearer. Remember, no half measures. Give it your all. Or don't even bother picking up your cross. Don't even bother submitting to your Lord and Savior. Don't even bother bearing your cross of persecution. And if you choose not to bother, then the Lord today, in the language that you four understand, and many of you understand, the Lord now gets in your face. He gets up in your grill. He has the right to do this. And what does he say? Indeed, anyhow, whoever might desire to save his life will lose it. Jesus has just told us the necessity of denying the old Adam, of denying our old sinful self. What happens when we don't deny ourselves? What happens when we live for the old Adam? Will we pursue the things of God? Will His word ever be upon our heart or upon our lips? Will you read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest this book, His Word? Will you open it and read it, or will you allow it to sit on your coffee table to hold down your doily? Useless if you do that. You just might as well throw it away. Reopen the book, dear ones, and read it. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it. If you live to please yourselves, if you four live to please yourselves, you will be neglecting your soul's nourishment forever and ever, even to the point of death. And I'm not talking about physical death. Each and every one of us in here will die one day. Rather, I'm talking about spiritual death, eternal death and hell. Instead of saving your life, which you think you can do on your own, rather than denying yourself and denying old Adam, rather denying yourself of the pleasures of this world and picking up your cross and burying it, you will lose your souls forever in the fires of hell. That's not me saying it, dear ones. Jesus says it right here. If you desire to save your life, you will lose it. So, what does Jesus do? He sends a cross. He sends troubles into your life. He sends suffering into your life. And this is no generic troubles or suffering, but it's troubles that come to you because you're a child of God. And what does that do? It drives you, I pray. It drives you back to Him. It drives you back to where you know you can find strength. You don't find strength in self-help books. You don't find strength in a whiskey bottle. You don't find strength in a syringe. You don't find strength anywhere in this world. For all that strength is actually weakness. All of that strength is actually death. Dear ones, He drives you back. He drives you back to the cross. He drives you to your knees in confession. And He tells you, I have taken those sins, each and every one of those sins, and I nailed it to the cross. Not for myself, I did it for you, and for you, and for you, and for you four, and for me, and for Hayden. He drives us to remember the promise that God has made at your baptism, where He made you dear daughters and dear sons of His kingdom. He drives you back to His Holy Supper. He will drive you to this very altar. And there He is present. Here He is present to serve you, body and blood, for the forgiveness of all your sins, for the strengthening of your faith, unto life and salvation. But if you think it's not important, if you think it's useless, if you think it's a waste of time, if you think you are above all of that, in your narcissistic self-centeredness, Jesus again warns us, if you think you can save yourself, you will lose your life. So that brings us to our Lord's conclusion in this little section. And what does He say? Moreover, whoever anyhow might lose his life on account of me, he will save it. This is not self-denial for self-denial's sake. Oh no. This is self-denial for Jesus' sake. Denying yourselves the sinful influences that lead you away from God and receiving the blessings of Christ here in His church, His grace and His mercy and the forgiveness of your sins that He richly lavishes on each and every one of you. This He does here. This He does here in this place. Here is where you hear the announcement of the good news of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear ones, you will never hear it from the world. Actually, the world has a very low opinion of Jesus. And therefore, since they have a very low opinion of Jesus, what in the world do you think they think of you? There is a story, dear ones, of a man who visited a shepherd. This man noticed that there was one little sheep who always stood right next to the shepherd. And as they walked along, this little sheep would never leave the side of the shepherd. Wherever the shepherd went, there was that little lamb falling right next to the shepherd's leg. So the visitor just couldn't help himself. He asked the shepherd, "Why does that little lamb always stay so close to you?" The shepherd paused. You see him thinking. And he answers, "Well, you see, this little lamb used to wander away all the time. It never, ever stayed in the flock. It never, ever came when I called to it. It always went out by itself. This little lamb thought it was special. So I broke its leg." Sounds rather cruel, doesn't it? You see, the shepherd had to break the leg of the lamb to get its attention. Jesus brings these troubles into your life to get your attention. He wants a confession of faith. And if you refuse, if you accept a broken leg and think, "Well, God's that angry with me and He will not forgive me," and you walk away from Him, well, ever since, this shepherd said, Ever since I broke this little lamb's leg, he has stayed right next to me every second of the day. Indeed, what is profited a man having gained the whole world himself? Moreover, having been destroyed or having suffered loss of himself. Indeed, Ivy and Ansley and Thomas and Jordan, dear ones, indeed, what profit is there in all the riches of the world? What profit is there to being rich and famous? What profit is there of being known by everyone, signing autographs, having a huge bank account, having upteen cars and trucks and whatever? What profit is there of being an arrogant, prideful, worldly person who cares only about me, me, and me? Can any of you name a person who gained worldly fame, who had it all 500 years ago, 300 years ago? How about 200 or 100 years ago, and is still valued today? They had it all. Then they died and were forgotten. Dear ones, earthly treasures are temporary. Here today, but forever never to stay. Earthly treasures are idols that will eventually result in loss. Loss in the trust of the most truest and purest treasure that Jesus has given to each and every one of you. The purest and the truest treasure that Jesus has given to you for the kingdom of God. Would you really throw away the kingdom for all the pleasures of this world? What profited a man to gain the whole world himself, but having been destroyed or having suffered loss of himself? Yes, the Lord will finally break your leg. He will bring trials and suffering into your life. You may clench your fist and shake your fist at God, but he will not be mocked. He brings these sufferings into your life so that you will fall to your knees, confess your sin, and he who is faithful and just will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Jesus will hold you to your confession today, dear ones. When you come to this altar, he just may break your leg, but he wants that confession. He wants a true confession from heart coming through your lips. He wants everyone to hear it. He himself is watching. He himself is hearing. Indeed, anyhow, Jesus says, whoever might be ashamed of me and my words, him the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he shall come in glory in himself and of the Father and of the holy angels. That's the bottom line. Dear little lambs, all dear little lambs, are you more concerned about fitting into this world? Are you more concerned about all the pleasures of this world? Are you more concerned about this adulterous and rebellious generation and being a part of it? If you are, Jesus is telling you this morning, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Luke uses a very powerful word in the original language to make the point that Jesus is saying to us today. It's a verb. It's a verb that is an aorist, subjunctive, passive. Now that means absolutely nothing to any of you, but now it will. It's a verb that means a past action that could possibly or will have a future consequence. This is something that you will expect in the future. What is he saying? If you are ashamed of the Word of God, if you're ashamed of this book, if you're ashamed of being in this building, if you're ashamed of worshiping him, if you're ashamed of your baptism, if you're ashamed of his body and blood, if you refuse to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest all that he gives to you, if you're ashamed of him, he himself, you should expect something. And what will you expect? What should you be expecting? Dear ones, dear little lambs, dear friends, these are the most horrifying words that you will hear. Expect it if you think that you're above all of this. If you think that you can live in the world and be saved. If you think you can save yourself by what you do. Jesus will one day stand before you as you look at him eye to eye. And he will say to you, I don't know you. The most horrifying words that any human being could hear. Your Creator, the one who created you, the one who died for you and saved you, the one who rose for you on the third day, the one who ascended into heaven for you, he says to you, I don't know you. It's over. It's all over. He's ashamed of you. He will deny you because you have denied him. There's that verb. A past action results in a just judgment. There's the law, dear ones. There's the law that you must hear and understand. There's the law that is at work within your hearts and minds today. Is Jesus truly your Savior? Is Jesus truly your Savior? And when you stand here and make your confession, do you mean it? Or are you just doing it just to please your family? No, no, no. Or are you doing it just to look good? No, no, no. Or are you doing it because you're being made to do it? Never, never, never. Ivy and Ansley, Thomas and Jordan, you will kneel here and you will say from your heart, and you will mean it by saying yourself that you will never leave the church, that you will never leave your triune God, that he is your Savior, and that only by him and through him will you come into heaven. This is a blessed assurance that he gives to you for and to all of you. You see, here at Shum, each and every one of us understands this. What we sow, we will reap. Dear little lambs, remember what the Lord has sown in your hearts. Remember what he's done for you at your baptism. Remember what you learned in Sunday school. Remember what you have learned in confirmation class. Remember, always remember that he is present. He is always present here. He will never leave or forsake you. And on next Sunday, you will come and join in the fellowship. You will stand here, and Jesus himself is present, and he will give to you his body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins. Jesus will always keep his promises. Yet, there are some here who just may deny him. They just may think this is no longer important. The font is no longer important. What I hear in this church is no longer important. And I say to you, repent. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For only he has saved you. And only here are you receiving his body and blood that strengthens that faith, that destroys the narcissistic, vain, conceited old Adam. So let this be our mantra, dear ones. And let this be your mantra. Take these words to heart. Paul wrote to the Romans and said, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Please rise for prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, in holy baptism, you began your good work in Ivy, Jordan, Renee, Ansley, Nicole, Thomas, Anthony, and Jordan, Dean. and you have blessed their instruction and training in your word. We implore you to pour out your Holy Spirit on their hearts and minds so that they will truly love and revere you. Confess the faith with joy and boldness. Endeavor to live according to your commandments and praise and glorify you as their faithful God and Lord. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.